in many different places in Scripture. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It starts out in the book of Habakkuk. That's a book that y'all all read this past week, right? Habakkuk. In the Philippines, they call that Habakkuk. And you know what? That makes a whole lot more sense than Habakkuk. But in Habakkuk 2:4, the Bible says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, goes on and says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Galatians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." And finally, the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 10:38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." My question to you this morning is why is this phrase, "the just shall live by faith," so important that God saw fit that on four different occasions these words were recorded in Scripture? Over and over again in the Bible, this phrase, "the just shall live by faith," is repeated. You know, I believe that within each and every one of us, even if our understanding of salvation is by grace through faith, I believe that in every one of us, there is this part of us that still believes that we must live our lives in such a way to try to fulfill the laws of God. Right? We must obey the Ten Commandments. We must do what is right. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to sit here this morning and say you don't need to do what's right. But we have within us this idea of, I've got to do this. Almost to the point of which that it's no longer by grace through faith that we're trying to live our lives and obey God. Well, in an effort to illustrate this morning, I discovered a video that was created by a man named Art Hinkle. Art is the ministry director at Grace Camp Ministries in Victoria, British Columbia, in Canada. So he's Canadian. That's the first thing you need to know. And as such, he's a little off. On their website, Art says this: "The old covenant has been replaced by a new and better covenant. There is no place in the Christian life for the mixture of law and grace. Those who are in Christ have become new creations. He that was without sin became sin, so that we that were sinners, could in him become the righteousness of God." So I want to introduce to you Art Hinkle, and this is a video called "Mr. Law and Mr. Grace." And yes, in case you're wondering, Art is playing both Mr. Law and Mr. Grace. And so I invite you to watch this short video and get an idea of his concept of law and grace.
I think I can.
Hey, what are you trying to do?
Well, now that I've given my life to Jesus, I'm trying to live the Christian life. Well, that's what Jesus would want me to do, right?
Well, actually, Jesus doesn't need your life. He gave his life so that you might receive it, so that he might live his life in and through you. You know, it's by grace that you came to faith, right?
Well, of course I know that. It's because of that that I'm working so hard to try and do my part to pay him back. So if you don't mind, I'm trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy.
What's that I smell?
Oh, I wondered when you were going to ask. It's my cologne. It's called Faith. All the real men are wearing it. Quite often people come up to me and ask, what's that I'm smelling? And I answer them by saying, oh, that must be my faith you're smelling. Hey! Hey, did you know that the word if appears 3,810 times in scriptures, and that there are 6,648 commands recorded in the Bible? That's enough to keep anyone busy.
Well, those are interesting facts, I guess. But the Bible's not just a book of facts or a rule book. It's more like a love letter from God to mankind. It's all about Jesus and God's amazing grace.
Hey, did you know that there are 3,566,480 words in the Bible? And I'm going to memorize every last one of them, even if it kills me. Read my Bible, pray, do church, quote scripture, be nice.
Okay, so now what are you doing?
I'm going over my spiritual to-do list. It keeps me from slacking off so I don't get in trouble with you-know-who.
Who?
You-know, him-who.
Oh, actually, I don't have to worry about getting in trouble with him. You see, with him, there's no condemnation. There's no finger-pointing, no I-told-you-sos.
Hey, where's your to-do list?
Actually, I don't have one. If anything, I have a get-to-do list.
You mean you don't do anything?
No, don't get me wrong. I'm active. But Christ is the initiator, and I'm the responder. As he lives his life in and through me by the Spirit, I find myself getting to do things.
How many of us are guilty of spiritual to-do lists? Thank you for the few brave souls that admit to it. I mean, how many of us live each day saying, did I do this? Did I do this? Did I do this? And it's almost like a check-off to-do list for our spiritual lives. You see, somehow we've been tricked into thinking that this is what God wants from us. And I use the word tricked very strategically because I don't think that's what the Scripture teaches. Yes, we should read our Bibles. Yes, we should pray every day. Yes, we should be nice and share the gospel and all these different things that you can put on a list, but that's not how God wants us to view the Christian life. We've been tricked into thinking that's what he wants from us. And we've got to learn to live in the freedom that is now ours in Jesus Christ and our new life in Jesus Christ. So this morning I want to invite you to look at Galatians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at one of these passages of Scripture. In Galatians 3:11, it says there, the just shall live by faith. Well, this morning we're going to talk about growing by faith through the Spirit. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 14 in Galatians chapter 3. And this morning I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible. If you want to read along with me, the scripture will be up here on the screen. Verse 1 says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, In you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law under a curse are under a curse. For it is written, Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law, and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by faith. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray your blessings be upon this time as we study your word. And God, I just pray that you would help us to understand the truth of your word and help us to see those things that you have for us today. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So here we have in verse 14 the crux of what we're talking about, and that is all of these things come down to the fact that the Spirit of God has been promised to us when we trust in Christ by faith. And if we are to grow in our spiritual life, it must be growing in our faith by the Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And too often, we have come to this place where we feel like we've got to do it ourselves. Well, the Galatians had been wonderfully saved through Paul's preaching, but something had happened to them. They had been saved by grace through faith, but in short, they began to bring all of these old rules and the traditions of Judaism into this new religion of their faith in Jesus Christ. And they began counting those old rules and those old traditions as part of what it was required of them to be saved. Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7 from the New Living Translation says, "I am shocked that you are turning away from God so soon, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but it is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ." You see, they were tricked. And folks, I believe that a lot of us today are also being tricked into thinking that we have to live by the law in order for God to be pleased with our lives. But the fact is it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about us living by grace through faith. The just shall live by faith, not by the works of the law. When we live our lives by the works of the law, there is a term for that. It's not a pretty term, it's not a nice term, and nobody likes to be referred to as one of these people. But the term is legalism. When we become legalistic, saying that you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, in order for God to be pleased with your life, then we're adding to the gospel, to the good news of Jesus Christ. Legalism is rampant in evangelical churches today. There's a blogger named Jeff Goins who said this. He said, "Rules can be tricky. They keep us safe from really going off the deep end, but they can also constrict our passions and can murder our hearts. I've struggled with them my whole Christian life, to be disciplined without being legalistic, to embrace grace without abusing it, to have some structure in my life without being ruled by it." Rules, in and of themselves, they aren't necessarily bad. They're just structures set in place toward a specific end. Following a rule just to look good in front of others or even feel good about yourself is only going to make you frustrated, and it sure won't get you anything eternally. Folks, I think a lot of us today are living that kind of life where we're trying to follow the rules to look good or follow the rules so we feel good about ourselves. But the reality is that they are of no eternal value. When we do it for purposes here on earth, it has no eternal value. So how do we combat our tendency toward legalism? Well, we must remember that we are to live by faith and not by the law. So if we look at this passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 3, the first thing I want us to look at is actually the end of the passage. In verses 12 through 14, we find that we are redeemed by Christ to receive the Spirit of by faith. We're redeemed by Christ to receive the Spirit by faith. Notice what Mr. Law and Mr. Grace have to say about this.
Boy, that sounds like a lot of work. I'm sure glad that I don't have to worry about loving God.
You mean you don't love God?
That's not what I said. I said I don't worry about loving God. You see, when you understand that God is love and that He's for you, it's only natural that you find yourself responding to His love. This is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us. We love because He first loved.
You make it sound so easy.
Well, it's not hard responding to His unending love.
Did you hear him? Well, it's not hard to respond to God's unending love. How many of you remember back, especially if you were saved as a young boy or young girl, how many of you remember back to that time when you were trusting in Christ as your Savior and you said yes to Jesus? You know, I was a little boy. I was almost 7 years old when I trusted in Christ. That's been 35 years ago. Holy cow. It's been a long time. But I can still remember where I was and what was going on. And I remember the fact that it was easy. Jesus loved me. This I know, for the Bible told me so. I responded to His love. But we move away from that childlike faith to a place where the Christian life becomes something crazy hard, to the place where it's all about rules and regulations. It's not hard to respond to God's unending love. Notice what Galatians 3 verses 13 and 14 say. It says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He became sin who knew no sin so that we might become His righteousness. We have Christ's righteousness because He became the curse that we deserved. Verse 14 then goes on and tells us, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So salvation is the work of God through Christ and in His death, burial, and resurrection. Then the believer receives the Holy Spirit just as Jesus promised to them. So we are redeemed by Christ for the purpose of receiving the Holy Spirit by faith. Now look at the next section of Scripture. In verses 7 through 11, we find that we are cursed by the law until we are justified by our faith. The law exists in order to bring us to faith in Christ. Do you understand the purpose of the law? God, when He instituted the law, it was never for the purpose of setting a standard so high that maybe someday someone could live up to that. Folks, let's face the facts. None of us are able to live up to the standard that God has set before us. That wasn't the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law was to bring us to Christ. We all stand guilty before the law. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, the Bible says, as it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. So next time I ask you, hey, how are you doing? Please don't tell me you're good. Because you're not. You're a sinner. You can say, oh, I'm doing well. That's okay. But none of us are good. Not one of us is good. Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. This is in the section of Scripture after what we're studying today. Paul goes on and says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. You see, the purpose of the law is not to set a standard for us to achieve. The purpose of the law is to set a standard so that we can see ourselves for who we really are. We are people who cannot achieve. We are people who are not good. We are people who are not righteous. But that's not where God leaves us, praise the Lord. He shows us who we are through the law. And then, after faith has come, verse 25 said, after faith has come, we're no longer under that law. We're no longer under the schoolmaster. And so we've got to stop living our life according to to-do lists. Amen? We've got to start living our life by grace, through faith, enjoying the relationship that we have with God. And relationships are not about to-do lists. Ladies, in case you didn't know that, relationships are not about to-do lists. Yes, we want to do what you want us to do, but don't hand us a list. You know, lists just make it obligatory. We don't want to love someone out of obligation. We want to love someone and show them that love in different ways. Notice what our friends, Mr. Law and Grace.
That, there's no more to-do list for me.
That's great.
Oh, I've learned my lesson. Instead of always thinking about what I should do, I've come up with a new list, a list of things that I shouldn't do.
What?
You know, sometimes that's what we end up doing. It's not about what we're supposed to do, but it's just the list of what we shouldn't do. Folks, that's legalism. That is legalism. We forget that we're no longer under a schoolmaster, the law, and end up creating our list of things, our rules of how we are to live. Romans 3, 21 through 24. I love what Paul says here. Most of us know Romans 3, 23, but we leave out those couple that surround it. Listen to what he says. He says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Folks, we are justified by His grace through faith. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3, that's exactly what it tells us in verse 8. It says, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. We are Gentiles. We receive Christ by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We are justified by His grace through faith, and we are also sanctified by grace through faith. Now, what does that word mean, sanctified? It means to be set apart, right? It means to be made holy, holy unto God, to be matured in our faith. We're sanctified by grace through faith, not by the works that we try to do each day. So the third thing that I want us to notice this morning is, there are those notes. There you go. Is that we are regenerated by the Spirit to mature by faith. We are regenerated by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God creates in us a new heart. We are a new creation. All the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are regenerated for a purpose, to mature in Him, to grow up in Him. But we cannot do that in and of ourselves, in our own power. We must do that by faith. Why is it that we often forget that the same grace through faith that saves us is also the grace through faith that will enable us to live for God. One more time, I want us to look at what Mr. Law and Mr. Grace have to say about measuring up.
What are you doing with that measuring tape?
I'm just seeing if I'm measuring up to God's standards.
And why would you be doing that?
Well, if you knew your Bible, you'd know that we as Christians are supposed to imitate Christ, to be like Him, represent Him, and shine in a dark world. I just want to see how I'm doing.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't really get it. The very fact that Jesus, by His Spirit, is living His life in me, through me, and as me, means I don't have to try and be like Jesus. He does it all. None of us can be like Jesus through our own effort, not even on our best day.
None of us can be like Jesus in our own effort, not even on our best day. Amen? Folks, we've got to believe, we must believe that everything we are and everything that we do is by grace through faith. Grace and faith is not just the way to salvation. It is the Christian life. We've got to believe that. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2 tells us, "Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Church, let me ask you this. Did you receive your salvation by works of the law or by hearing by faith? Which was it? Hearing by faith. So why do we allow ourselves to be tricked into thinking that we've got to work hard, and we've got to do this, and we've got to do this? Why do we think that we can live for Christ apart from grace and faith? Verse 3 in Galatians 3 says, "Are you so foolish? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected or being matured or completed in Him by the flesh? Do you really think that you have anything that you have to offer to God?" No, we don't. Now, don't get down on yourselves. It's not a bad thing. God doesn't want our flesh. God doesn't want our effort. God wants our love. God wants our faithfulness. He wants us to grow up in Him, not by our own effort, but by His grace, by His Spirit and the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Are we really so foolish to think that we could do it any other way? So how do we make this practical today? How do we make it practical to grow by faith through the Spirit? Well, you may have your own list of things that God's put in your mind through this sermon, but I've got a short list, and I think number one on that list is get rid of your spiritual to-do list and spend time with God because you love Him. It's not something that we have to check off each day. It's something that we should be walking with Him in every moment of the day. Get rid of your spiritual to-do list. Number two, I think we've got to realize that we've got to stop trying to overcome temptation in our own power or our own willpower. Folks, you can't do it. You will always fall. You must stop trying to overcome temptation in our own power and yield yourself to Him. There is no temptation that has come upon us that God does not give us a way of escape. The way of escape is yielding our life to the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit in His power enable us to overcome that temptation. We've got to stop trying to overcome it on our own. The third thing I notice is we've got to change our concept of who God is. Now, you may not be like this, but I think all of us have been like this at some point in time in our lives. And that is that we think of God as some cosmic sheriff that is out to get us. Have you been there? He's this God who is just waiting to catch us doing something wrong, and as soon as we do, he's going to squash us like a bug. People think of God that way. You heard Mr. Law talking about it. He said, I got to keep up with my list or I'll make him upset with me. Folks, God loves us. Amen, amen, amen. God loves us and he wants what is best for us. And you know what's even better than that? He forgives us when we mess up. We've got to quit thinking of him as a cosmic sheriff out to get us. The fourth thing I notice is we've got to examine every aspect of our life to see if our convictions are truth from God's word or legalistic rules that we've thought up on our own. There are a lot of things that we're convicted about, things that we're passionate about, that it has to be this way. We got to have it this way. My challenge to you this week is sit down and think about, what am I convicted about? What am I passionate about? What would I die for? And then as you think about that, ask yourself, is that in Scripture? Or is that just in my head? I think we're all guilty of legalism in different shapes and forms and different levels. But folks, we've got to live our life by grace through faith, because that's what the Christian life is all about. Fifth thing, last thing. We've got to learn to live within the boundaries of grace and mercy and allow the Holy Spirit to be in control of our lives. Grace and mercy. I remember about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now, I was going through a difficult situation. And anytime you have conflict, areas of conflict in your life or within the ministry, it's tense, it's stressful. And I was going through a time of conflict with some of our leadership in the Philippines where I was serving, and it was hard. By the way, a side note, Wednesday night we're going to be talking about conflict resolution in our Wednesday night Bible study. It should be an interesting topic. But the conflict was hard, and we were having a meeting where we were all going to sit down and face-to-face work things out. And the night before that meeting, I was spending time with the Lord, reading and soap journaling and praying and crying out to him, saying, God, help me to be a reflection of you in this situation. And in that moment, and the moments to follow, and in fact the days and weeks that followed that moment, God put three words into my mind. Grace. Mercy. Compassion. As I was crying out to him and asking him, show me your heart. Help me to be a reflection of you. He said, if you want to be like me, show them grace. Show them mercy. Show them compassion. If we'll do these things It is in that moment and in those days to follow that we will begin growing in faith in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for your compassion upon me and allowing me to place my trust in you. God, help me to stop living in such a way that I try to do it on my own. Father, help me to yield my life to you. Father, I love you. I thank you so much. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.